Checkmate 1-6. Immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Courtney Cronin in for Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be Club Hawthorne Betting Bars, featuring horse racing, video slots, and sports betting throughout Chicagoland. We say good morning to Snorling. Good morning, boys. Courtney, good to have you in.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
It's always good to see you.
I haven't spilled coffee on my computer like I did the last time I was in here with Hoodie.
I noticed you do have a new keyboard.
Okay, so I've yet to get this thing fixed, which happened the Wednesday after Super Bowl, so it's been like 3 months. So I have my, what do you call this, wireless keyboard, my wireless mouse. This does not work. So it's going to be a real big problem when I'm in a press box this fall, taking up all the room because I have not gotten this fixed yet.
You haven't spilled coffee yet. You still got 2 hours left.
See, I'm more awake now. It's 8 a.m.
Yeah, but you know how you are with your hands.
Calling me out.
You know, so my hope is that won't happen, but you know how you express it with your hands.
Oh, my God. I always like wonder when I'm doing network radio because we see each other over Zoom.
Yeah.
My co-host probably thinks I'm like acting because I do talk with my hands. And yes. When my nails are longer, I feel like I am like invincible and I have these conversations that I like specifically talk with my nails. I'm like, yes. Cardi B.
I'm just pointing it out. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying.
An expressive person.
Yes, I just want you to make sure that you're okay. Move the drink to the left. That way there's no accidents here. We turn to Shay Norling with this edition of Shot or No Shot, Shay.
All right, let's first hear from Kyle Brandt, who had some kind words for DJ Moore.
I will go with DJ Moore of now the Chicago Bears. Like,
yes.
It's crazy to say out loud. DJ Moore is always that guy where you're like, if you take a running back early in fantasy, he's that wide receiver you get like in the third round. It's like end of the first tier or top of the second tier. Really great young player. He's done amazing things. And now he's going to be in the mainstream. He's going to be in a huge media market with a massively famous quarterback who's trying to break out. And you represent something in Chicago, which is, I am going to be your star receiver, Chicago, something you normally do not have. I will have DJ Moore with a side of hash browns. I'll take it. That's my order.
All right. So shot or no shot. DJ Moore will have a better career as a Chicago Bear than Brandon Marshall did.
That's a shot. Brandon Marshall was a good idea, and the reason why that there was even a connection with Brandon Marshall coming to Chicago was Twitter. I think it was Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall going back and forth, and they wanted to kind of put the band back together from their time in Denver, and come to find out that Brandon Marshall had a knife in the back of Jay Cutler. I remember doing a show with Brandon Marshall. It was Jesse and I, Brandon Marshall at FitSpeed in Northbrook. And during one of the commercials, Brandon Marshall told me, he said, hey, man, could you talk up the backup quarterback? And who was from Notre Dame? What's his name? Gosh. The backup quarterback that was behind Jay Cutler at the time. And I said, why would I talk about your backup? Your quarterback is Jay. Yeah, but you need to talk about the backup because we think that he's... I was like, no, I'm not talking about him.
Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to talk about Jimmy Clausen. I'm like, well, that's strange. Why would you want me to talk about Jimmy Clausen? He didn't play. Yeah, but we really like Jimmy. Like, yeah, I'm not doing that. How about that? It's strange, their relationship toward the end. So, yeah, will DJ Moore have a better career than Brandon Marshall? Marshall never really got out of the blocks. And I think that he can with Justin. So that is a shot.
I will say it's a shot as well. I'm still hung up on these superlatives that we keep throwing around Justin Fields. Massively famous quarterback. Did you hear him, Brandt, say that?
Yes, yep. He did.
Massively famous. Can we stop?
See?
Stop! Like, he's going into year three.
Massively famous.
Massively famous.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Breakout season for DJ Moore. I mean, he's already had several of those. And to have... 3 1,100-yard seasons over the course of his career in Carolina with 8 different quarterbacks throwing in the ball. Now he actually has continuity. Of course. Like, you can take that to the bank. That's probably a pretty easy one to project because of what he did with less than ideal circumstances and multiple quarterbacks, having to learn multiple cadences every single year. I think he's going to have a great season being the number one in this offense.
So that's a shot.
It's a shot.
Shay.
Our friends on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were talking a little Justin Fields. Courtney, you're going to love this. Take a listen.
Justin Fields has an all-time breakout year and wins MVP, believe it or not.
I would say I believe it. I think when you look at his skill set, he can turn into something. He may wind up having a potential Lamar Jackson type year at the MVP level.
That's what it would look like, yeah.
Or maybe even a Jalen Hurts, even though he doesn't have the receiving core that Jalen Hurts has, but he does have some pieces with DJ Moore and Claypool in position to make some plays for him. So I believe it.
Shot or no shot, this whole thing just has to slow down.
Shot. Yes. Like, let's reel it in. It's May 10th. To go out there and say, what can I hear what Max said again? Because my brain just like.
Justin Fields has an all-time breakout year and wins MVP, believe it or not.
Breakout year. Meaning better than any of the other MVPs who have ever won the MVP. That's how I took that. No.
What would he have to do? Like, it's going to be better than the Patrick Mahomes, what was it, 2018 when he had the 50 touchdowns?
Yeah,
and
or like Lamar Jackson's unanimous MVP season in 19? No. That's when you take a look at a team and you really don't know how it works and you don't actually understand the intricacies of the offense and what's going to be expected from Justin Fields going into year three. That's purely, hey, that Fields guy, that massively famous quarterback in Chicago, he seems like he's primed for some big things. I'm just going to go and throw this insane label on him. And yes, these are my colleagues at ESPN Radio. We love each other.
Sure. It's
hate the point, love the person, mm-hmm. Get that. But that is such a stretch. That's such filler content.
I just don't know how television, I know how ratings work. I don't know, but like minute by minute, when we hear that, whether or not the TV rating goes up or if it goes flat. I have no idea what that does, minute by minute. I just think that's just nonsense. I mean, and so you say this in May, and then, of course, if Justin Fields underachieves, boy, he grossly underachieves. They should fire the head coach, and Getsy's not who he's supposed to. See, I just can't go on these violent swings when it comes to opinions. And listen, you know, call me old school, but I like to see season by season in incremental progress for a player or a team. Again, maybe I'm just too slow with it like everybody else, because maybe I should be the one that's jumping the gun on Justin Fields saying he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Maybe that resonates, but I don't think that does to the general audience, though, Courtney. I just don't.
No, I think that people listen to that, and it's such an outlier of a comment for a guy who had 318 passing attempts last year.
That'd be a hell of a jump.
I mean, here's one thing I will say that. And I'm going to, like, break the rule here. Mm-hmm. Let's say,
okay.
Justin Fields becomes the first Bears quarterback ever to throw for 4,000 yards.
Okay.
Do you put him in the MVP conversation there?
What's the record? Because that's a great individual achievement. Mm-hmm. I just, it will tell me where the ball club is. Can I give him the MVP if they go 7-10 with those numbers?
No.
Okay. I mean, because that's also predicated on the defense. Again, something that we don't talk enough about. That defense was the worst in my lifetime. The worst. When you got 20 sacks and you got individual players are getting 18, 19 sacks, that says a lot about how bad the defense was. You did not get pressure on the quarterback. That matters, too.
Sure.
All of that matters. So, yeah, 4,000 yards, great. So where's the ball club? Winning ball club? Playoff team?
You'd like to think so, unless it's like garbage time. Numbers, which, I mean, Kirk Cousins has had a lot of 4,000-yard seasons,
right.
And not necessarily, like, winning teams.
Or MVP contention. Or like, I was just going to say, Fields could throw for 4,000 and run for 550 and still fall 700 yards short of Mahomes just passing yards.
With six wins.
I think it's so rare.
If Fields gets almost 5,000 yards, I think they win more than six games.
You'd think so, but you don't find MVP, like legitimate MVP candidates on losing teams. It just doesn't happen.
I guess the point is that you can say all of those accolades toward Fields. Oh, look at how many yards and look how many. Okay, so but you still got to stop somebody. It's Fields on that end of the football. So that's the whole thing. That's my point. it's not about the individual achievement. It's about the team.
Mm-hmm.
So he can have all those numbers. He's a 4,000-yard passing guy and also can run with the football. Okay, so when you're losing games 45-42, that's still a loss. And it still matters. Like, this ain't Andre Dawson win the MVP on a last-place team, you know, like for the Cubs. This is you're a winning quarterback. The team's winning. You've raised the bar at your position and the team. That's when you get those plaudits, not that. I mean, I don't get it. Shane Orling.
All right, I sent this to our group chat yesterday, and Courtney had a little personal edge to it, so I have to ask it here. Robert De Niro announced yesterday he just recently welcomed his 7th child into the world. If you don't know, Robert De Niro is 79 years old. Shot or no shot? 79 is way too old to be having kids.
Shot. That's agreeing with it. Shot. Yes. It's irresponsible. My dad was 55 when I was born. Think about having a newborn at that age.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not like shading anybody who's done that, but 79? That's, you're not going to be around to see the kid grow up.
Hats
and even if you are, you can't really do much.
Hats off to the swimmers. Still works, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you people just stay fertile your whole life.
You people?
Your gender.
Oh, I was going to say. Huh. My God. Courtney Kuiper has just checked in. Holy cow. Hang on a second. Shay, what are we doing here?
As women, we lose that ability as we get older.
Hold on.
You people, with the weird chromosome, is it X, Y, or...
Z.
Z?
X, Y, and Z.
Okay. All right, biology lesson here on State Street.
Sometimes
apparently you guys don't lose the ability to make children. That's wild to me. 79 years old.
Yeah. So I just want to know who the lady is. Is she?
Yeah, we couldn't figure it out this morning. Do you know, Shay?
Did you track her down?
No, it's like so. Apparently, he's not married. That he got divorced from his most recent wife, mm-hmm. and the last person that he was like seen with or attached to was almost a year ago. Some Taekwondo instructor. I don't even have the name. So nobody's sure who the mother of this 7th child is.
Ah, Taekwondo.
Very, very low key drop in by Bob De Niro with a like just a yeah. I just had my 7th kid. No fanfare about this. Nothing.
Except right now.
Did you say low-key drop-in? Is that what you said? Drop-in?
Well, he did drop something in somewhere.
He did drop it in. My God. Right to the cup and scores. I think that's very odd. Like, you say it's reckless. I mean, so it's that or who's our guy that's on the game show, Jay Moore, that from San Diego? The guy that America's Got Talent... Who's that? Who's
Simon? Simon?
No. They got the actor that's got 9, 8 or 9 kids. Like every
Nick
year.
Cannon.
Nick Cannon. Yes.
Oh. I mean
yes.
That's irresponsible too.
You got.
I thought Nick Cannon had more like 12 or 13 kids.
Does he have enough to field a baseball team? That's what I want to know. I think it's 9 now, right?
He can't do a full 26, man, but I think he can fill all 9 positions.
I mean. Okay, so to answer your question. Is it irresponsible? Well, can he pay for him? Will he be around?
No, he probably won't.
I mean, he's still around. He was
79, but by the time the kid goes to college, he's 99 years old.
Damn.
I'm still around. I can still do this. I can still do this.
Yeah, he'll still be doing 3-hour mob movies.
He can do the unhappy smile, and he's like still getting it done. He should not be having kids at 79, though. I would agree with that. I think it's odd. But things happen.
Clearly.
Things
X, Y, and Z.
So I don't know. All the chromosomes. Did you look it up? X, Y, and Z.
I'm going to go do that in the break.
I think that's what he did there in that spot. And how many kids now?
7.
7 kids. His 7th kid. Wow. That's a ton.
Cut that meat.
Still hope for Cap. Coming up around the NFL. He brings his grandson around, by the way, to the park. And he's like, oh, you have a beautiful... Yeah, that's me and Mindy.
He's just bringing more sources into the world.
And they're all wrong. It's amazing how that works. Around the NFL, that's next with Courtney Cronin, Jay Hood with you on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n J. Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the National Football League with Courtney Cronin and Jay Hood with you on the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show. By the way, our podcast of the 7 o'clock hour is already up. Just click Cap Jay Hood on the ESPN Chicago app. Our 7 a.m. hour is brought to you by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. As we go around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, let's start with this. We know the NFL schedule comes out tomorrow,
yes,
but the announcements are starting today.
There's a special, by the way. Let's talk about the special on ESPN 1000.
Tyler Aki and I will be on tomorrow night from 7 to 10 p.m. for a Bears schedule review show. It's going to be great. We're looking forward to that.
You booking, booking a guest?
Not yet.
Are you booking a guest?
Courtney, would you like to join us?
Yeah, of course.
How about that? That's how it works. Welcome. That's a peek behind the curtain.
You're welcome, by the way.
I mean, I'll be up writing, you know, going all in.
That's
on the
details.
That's
your favorite day of the year.
It is. Are you going to really talk for 3 hours about the Bears schedule? Or are you looking at other schedules, too?
No, we'll look around the NFL. Yeah, but Courtney, schedule release is one of my personal favorite days.
I know, and I'm still waiting for your wife to text back, hey, we're going to Frankfurt.
Yeah, we got to figure out the logistics.
You're welcome, by the way, on that guest booking idea. I mean, that's right in front of you. Go ahead.
Appreciate you producing me.
Yep. No, someone has to. Here's Shane Norling.
Let's get started with this. Hoodie, this will grind your gears a little bit. We'll get to the international schedule in a moment. Mm-hmm. But official about an hour ago, the Jets will host the Miami Dolphins in the NFL's first Black Friday game.
Well, as a college football fan, I like my middle of the road college football game on a Black Friday. You're done with Thanksgiving, and it's Friday. You're just just hanging out, and then you just watch a little middle of the road FS1 or ESPN college football. And now the NFL's going to stick their beak in that too. You just can't beat that. They're just trying to be everywhere on the calendar. If they could have the NFL in the spring and in the summer, if they could find a way, they'd do it. It's unbelievable. Can I just get my college football Black Friday game, my Nebraska Penn State game? Can I just get that without
Doesn't
having an interruption?
Iowa always play on Black Friday too.
It's outstanding because you're setting up bets, and Shay knows you're just setting up bets for the weekend by just starting off on that Black Friday. You know, God Almighty. Hey, I mean, and so then the Christmas, that's even worse. That's my NBA Christmas Day. I look forward to it every year. Christmas Day, there's Stephen A., there's Wilbon, Mike Greenberg, Jalen Rose, and they start with like maybe either in Brooklyn or the Knicks, and then you just all day you just watch NBA. No, NFL's got to stick their beak in there too. It's amazing. You can't stop them.
No, they capitalized in 2020. Like, with the COVID year, they took over the schedule from the NBA, and they really never gave it back. And then there's the Christmas Day. I think it's Monday this year.
There'll be a triple header on Christmas Day.
We know one of them right now.
Giants Eagles in Philadelphia.
I ain't watching. I'm going to stick with my NBA. That's what I'm used to.
By the way, I think the last time the Giants and Eagles played in Philadelphia was the Deshaun Jackson punt return.
Yes. Yeah.
On Christmas.
This league, boy. But you can't stop them. I mean, everyone wants more football.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with every moment, every season they do this, the league couldn't care less about the players. Couldn't care less. Just keep playing. Like the series of car accidents that these guys are in, no, they don't get 7 days off, 6 days off. No, play again. Play Sunday, then play Thursday.
I mean, the proposal at owners' meetings for 2 Thursday night games per team this year.
Oh, my God. Shay.
I think the league is experimenting to move Jacksonville to London because they will be the first team to ever play back-to-back London games. They will play week 4 in London, and they will play again week 5 in London.
Just go ahead and move them there already.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Like, it's so dumb that they are the experimental drug for the NFL with testing how overseas games do and what that market would be like. If I'm Jacksonville, I'm like, have I not proven to you enough? I made it to the playoffs last year. We won a playoff game. Can we stop with the London experiment? I'll go every once in a while, but I don't want to be in the mix every single year. They need to do what the Bears do to Hard Knocks.
Yes.
Say
no.
Absolutely not.
You should say no. Do you know off the top of your head, is Jacksonville do they have problems drawing out of all the teams in the league, attendance-wise? Are they okay?
Not worse than any other team. Any of like those bottom teams like Houston or...
Houston should be the worst, right?
I mean, the product, yeah, absolutely reflected that last year.
Jacksonville ranked 22nd in attendance last year.
Yeah, it's not...
It's not bad.
They're like middle of the pack, bottom tier attendance.
Yeah, shit, that's not bad.
By percentage capacity, they ranked 18th.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, for, you know, when Buffalo was bad and there are question marks of whether or not they should move to Toronto or not, I can understand why you want to move them internationally, but the Jaguars, that arrow's pointing up for them. Mm-hmm. Don't leave, let them build that fan base in Jacksonville. They're good again. I don't know.
Just interested, like, you lose the one home game. They're a home team in week four and then a road team in week five. So they lose the one home game. But what? Why keep them over there for 2 weeks? Isn't the point to expose European audiences to more NFL? Why give them the same team twice in a row?
Because that's what the European fans have the most jerseys of. Because they played over there so often.
By the way, is the NFL giving out jerseys? Because you see the most random jerseys at these London games. It'll be like Jags and Colts, and there's a fan in a Chad Pennington Jets jersey. No shot some guy in Tottenham has a Chad Pennington jersey laying around in his closet.
It's either in those countries or Africa.
It's like the Super Bowl shirts.
I mean, how many championship jerseys, like the Eagles winning the Super Bowl championship? There's a person in Soweto or mm-hmm. Johannesburg that's wearing Eagles championship. Like, no, it's Kansas City. They're the Super Bowl champion. I don't know. It was just shipped here. It was just a box that came to the square. And we were just picking shirts and jerseys. It's unbelievable. I think that's what happened. I just think that they cleaned out the Dick's Sporting Goods. Just like, hey, we can't use this anymore. Ship them off.
Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl champion.
Exactly. I got like the Reggie Wayne Patriots jersey. He didn't even make the roster.
Relatives of Mandela wearing jerseys and shirts that don't make sense anymore. Why are you... Hey, dude, where did you get that? It's like, hey, man, he was just in a box, and I just picked it up from the store. It was awesome. I mean, seriously. God, White Sox World Series champions 2021. Where'd you get that? It was in a box, bro. I don't know. All right. What else? Can you squeeze in one more? Is there another note?
Yeah, let's hear quickly from Diana Rossini. I think we have the first sound out of Packers camp that Jordan Love may not be all that great.
Yeah, 3 years sitting on the bench. Tim laid out how little experience he has on the field. But I can tell you, this Green Bay Packers organization has turned the page on Aaron Rodgers. We're going to continue to talk about this up to the start of the season and probably through the season, constantly making those comparisons. And the thing is, guys, we can't, right? We're comparing one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the position to a guy that we don't really know much about. But this coaching staff does know a lot of what they've seen from Jordan Love out on the practice field. And everything that I've been hearing is in terms of the confidence. They believe in him, but they are preaching patience. Yeah. Patience throughout the entire organization. No, he is not going to be able to step out on the field and immediately light this up. It's going to take some time just because he hasn't had that much time out on the field.
What a novel concept. Time and patience and letting the guy actually play a full 17-game slate without claiming he's the next Aaron Rodgers. They're doing something right up there in Green Bay.
Yep. The last thing a Bears fan wants is that seamless transition from Favre to Rodgers to Love. Could you imagine? Imagine the Love is something.
Carmen said he'll stop watching football.
he's going to shut it off? Is that what he said?
He said he's done and lead a break.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch anymore. I can see Carm saying that. He's hilarious. All right. That is our look around the National Football League right here. on ESPN 1000 and coming up. Connor McKnight with the latest on the White Sox. White Sox win over Kansas City. We'll talk about it coming up next with Courtney Cronin, Jay Hood with you on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Come on.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox picked up a victory against the Royals by a score of 4-2 last night behind a strong start from Lucas Giolito, the starter.
It's one of those nights where, like, the stuff is a little bit better velocity-wise, so really trying to take advantage of that, just trying to stick heaters at the top of the zone. Missed a couple times. Witt got me on that 0-2 in the sixth inning, yanked it all the way across the zone. He's put a good swing on it. It's a good outing, though. 6-2 and give us a good chance to win. That's what it's all about. It's a starter, so yeah, able to get a nice W and hopefully continue that tomorrow, win this series.
Yeah, six innings, pitched two runs, nine strikeouts for Lucas. Sox and Royals tonight, pregame at 6 with Connor McKnight right here in the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Cubs lost their second straight to the Cardinals, 6-4. It was Dansby Swanson going 3-for-5 with a three-run homer. Morrell with a solo home run wasn't enough as the Cubs lose that one 6-4. NFL schedule release is tomorrow, but we've got a little bit of a tease. The Bears will not play an international game this season. The NFL also announced that the Bengals will play the Bills in Kansas City on New Year's Eve at 3:25. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you with us here on this Wednesday morning. Courtney Cronin in for Cap as we turn to Connor McKnight, who covers the White Sox for ESPN 1000. And you can hear him with the pregame as the Sox get ready to take on the Royals, 6 o'clock right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000 on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Connor. How are you?
Morning, Hoodie. Good morning, Courtney. How are you both? We're doing well here at the house. Winners of 6 of 9, so that feels a little bit better than the last time we talked. I'll tell you that much.
Since you asked, we're doing fine, thank you. But thanks for telling us how you felt first.
Well, that's how conversation works, right? I tell you the things, and then I just wait for my turn to listen. Wait for my turn to talk back.
But you didn't wait. You came. You barreled right in.
I take my cues from Cap, so I'm just trying to model that conversational hook.
I understand. Hey, listen. As we waited for the rain delay, we finally got a game. I think it was worth the wait because Giolito looked like the Giolito we've been looking for, right? Nine strikeouts through six. What stood out most about his appearance?
I think a couple of things about his last few have stood out to me, and that's the usage of the slider. It's been a get strike pitch, and it's been a wipeout pitch at times. You know, the changeup's been really good over his last couple. I know you guys have been talking about that some. But really, last night, we saw 96 a couple of times from Lucas on the fastball. And, you know, it can feel like, I don't know, to me it can feel a little reductive sometimes just talking about fastball velocity, but it truly does matter. You know, the harder you throw, the more room you have for mistakes and the more you've got an ability to kind of wriggle off the hook in situations. And Lucas had that last night too. You know, he let the first two on in the fifth inning. I think it was a walk and a single, or maybe it was a single then a walk. And then he got out with three straight batters retired. I think it was three straight strikeouts, too. If it wasn't, it was two out of three. And then in the sixth, you know, he lets up a bloop after the Bobby Witt triple. He's so fast, it's almost invisible when he's running the bases. And he wriggles off of that inning, too, allowing just the one. And that's the kind of stuff that White Sox starters have needed to get to. Not necessarily, you know, getting out of every single jam. But one more here or there in each and every start would go a long way for this ball club. They've got to get deeper into games because the bullpen has had troubles, with the exception of last night.
Mm-hmm.
The bullpen's had troubles, so you could throw that one more inning, you know, throw seven instead of six, or six instead of five, and then Pedro Grifol's decision when you come down to the bullpen arms is a little bit easier because you got fewer innings to cover.
What's Grifol saying about why the fastball is where it's at? These are numbers that he hasn't seen since 2021. Like, what's been the key for Giolito getting back there with that velocity?
Yeah, I don't know that he's pointed to one particular thing, Courtney. Lucas spent a lot of time in the offseason kind of reworking mechanics yet again after last year. We've seen him have runs of good velocity even when he's been, even last year we saw, well, maybe not last year, but in years past when he hasn't been the Lucas Giolito of 19 or 20, we have seen stretches where that velocity's been there. I think it's 6'6", almost 6'7", with the number of moving parts, the size that Lucas Giolito is, keeping those mechanics a little bit tighter with a shorter arm swing can help you get to a more repeatable thing, which hopefully delivers better velocity. And, listen, health is a thing, too. It's difficult to get pitchers to talk about some of the small things they deal with from season to season because everybody does. And nobody wants to throw that out there as any kind of excuse. But it might just be that Lucas feels just, all those things and a little bit healthier this year than he might have in the past. And that maybe provides 96 more often than he did last year.
As entertaining as it was when you and Cap were going back and forth about Luis Robert, where my partner saying that Luis Robert is lollygagging down the first base, he should be sent down to Charlotte. Your point was valid. It's something that you don't do. But walk with me, Connor. See if you agree with this. With Luis Robert, since that time, I mean, he's been red hot. He's been fantastic. I would say in today's lexicon of baseball or sports, embarrassment equals refocus. Because I could say the same thing for Baez with Detroit, too, by the way. Pulled out of the ball game, and now he's been fantastic. So could you agree that sometimes embarrassment, meaning being pulled out of the ball game, called out, spotlight on you, means refocus for a ball player?
I will absolutely begin this journey with you, Hoodie, because I think it's a worthwhile conversation. Mm-hmm. Remember, too, that the difference between going down to AAA Charlotte and being removed from a big league game to be trusted with a late at-bat in your next game, then it's not just that Luis Robert has been good. He's, since the benching, been the best player in baseball in terms of Fangraphs WAR. He's hit at a 4.62 clip. He's got three home runs. He's driven in eight. His walk rate, Luis Robert's walk rate in the last nine games is 14.3%. He's been one of, if not the best player in baseball since that benching. So what I would say is this. Not only does the embarrassment matter, but I think what might even be more important after that is the conversation about what happened. You have to connect as coaches to that player. You must make that player understand what he did and that he's still an important part of your ball club and that we're going to win games because you're playing at 100% or at least at 100% of whatever health ability you're able to bring to the ball club in that day. We need you, big guy. You're not going anywhere. We're turning right back to you. Clear your head. And then come back with the fire of a thousand suns. That's got to be the conversation, not get out of my sight and go to Charlotte and we'll see you in 2 weeks. That's ludicrous because had they done that, they would have been without, again, the best player in baseball for the last week and a half. That's why the conversation between coaches and players matter. And quite frankly, listen, as rough as this whole thing has been for the White Sox, quite frankly, that's the kind of conversation, that's the kind of ability that Rick Hahn and everybody else in that White Sox front office that ended up hiring Pedro Grifol said that he'd bring to this club, and it's in evidence with that and Luis Robert at the very least.
So reason with me here. This team's 13-24. At some point, you get to the point of no return where you have to start siphoning off assets and calling the year a wash, looking towards trading pieces. When it comes to Giolito, and I know he's been in the conversation before and there's been reports that he will not be on the White Sox roster next year. This is the final year of arbitration, right?
Correct. Yeah, he's free agent after this season.
So the trade rumors that are out there right now, how much credence do you give to any of that he's playing so well right now, he might be playing his way off this roster?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Courtney, there's no two ways around it. This is a ball club that is still well under 500. It's within shouting distance of the AL Central, but that has a lot more to do, unfortunately, right now than with the Twins and with the Guardians than it does with the White Sox, albeit that they're playing better baseball now. Lucas and this ball club have had, you know, a couple of things happen somewhat publicly in terms of their arbitration numbers. And also, we, like you mentioned in reports with Bob Nightingale, as I recall, over the last couple of days, you know, it doesn't look like there are right now a lot of reports about a long-term future for these two. Free agent starters, you know, guys who are, you know, rentals, these are the kinds of players that get traded in this league. That's just the math of this. So, you know, for the White Sox to hang on to Lucas Giolito, to maybe, you know, come back around and have a kumbaya toward the end of the season, everybody else has got to play to the level that Lucas has been playing at over the last 6-7 starts in order for this team to make, you know, make good what it's been trying to aim for here in last season and the season before that and this year and the year after. So, you know, regardless of whether they get back to a playoff spot in this year or, you know, back to 500 and challenge for it or maybe a while, you know, whatever it is, you know, this team is still one that has some talented players on the roster and under contract. Lucas isn't one of those that fits both. He is not under contract for next year. So even if you're playing well, but not well enough, you may have to, you know, that may be a guy you have to deal so that you can get pieces back to extend this window and stay competitive, kind of rebuild on the fly, as we see a lot of, not rebuild on the fly, that's too much, but to tinker with pieces that you can't use next year and acquire pieces that have a longer longer contractual agreement with you.
Now time for Connor's Keys to the Series. The next series that the Sox will play against Houston is brought to you by Lenny File of Hearthside Realtors. Go to LennyFile.com for more. So this will be tough, Connor, without question. You're taking on Roy Oswalt, Brett Myers, a really good starting staff for Houston. And then from there, the offensive weaponry of Hunter Pence, and you've got Lance Berkman, and you know, Carlos Lee, the former Sox, is on this team. So, you know, what do the Sox have to deal with Brad Mills and his Houston Astros?
Well, listen, I mean, it's a tough ball club, and I think at the back end of the bullpen with Lidge, Jotel, and Wagner, I mean, it doesn't get a 7, 8, and 9 that's tighter than that one. Brad Lidge has future closer written all over him, doesn't he? Yes. I think the only thing that could derail that career is a guy like Albert Pujols hitting a ball 7,000 feet into the air in Houston and then maybe destroying the confidence of a man for years to come. But who could possibly see that happening? That's just that right. Slider from Lidge. You can't hit it.
So the Sox are going to have their work cut out for them, you're saying?
I mean, listen, this is, if you look at the 2023 Astros, what's really interesting to me is Alex Bregman right now is just not Alex Bregman. They're not getting offense from a lot of players that we know to be guys that will provide offense. Sure, Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez are really, really good, but they are the only regulars in that lineup right now with an OPS plus over 100. Jeremy Pena's got an on-base percentage under 300. Jose Abreu has yet to hit a home run for them in 36 games so far this year. I mean, it's a lineup that right now you can work around a little bit, and that's not been the case before. Plus, Jose Urquidy and Luis Garcia are both on the injured list. Garcia with what's, I don't know that it's been 100% going to be done Tommy John, but it does look like it's trending that way. So, you know, the depth of this organization is being tested a little bit. I think you could argue that while the White Sox try and take care of business in Kansas City then come back home against Houston, there's no better time to play the Houston Astros than right now, given the way the White Sox are playing, given the way that they're playing, all things considered. This is yet another series this month of May. I think we're going to talk all month about how this is yet another series, regardless of who they're playing, that the White Sox have got to win in order to make some of this stuff, you know, a bit more realistic.
Yeah, especially when you consider Bo Porter lost 111 games with that ball club last year. So it's, as always,
that's true. But I think Joe Morgan's going to be pretty good for them, you know, after coming over from the, I think he's still going to be the guy that we've all come to believe he is, you know?
Yes. As always, Connor, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
All right. See you guys.
It is Connor McKnight with us here, brought to you by Feltco on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
What the hell is Jordan Poole doing? next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
And that's a fine. Do I have a dollar?
You got a crick in your neck.
It's ridiculous. It's just English. I don't know. It's my first day with my new tongue. Jonathan and Courtney with you here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. What the hell is Jordan Poole doing? So, Shay, we saw this story. I saw it in several places, but the rapper Cameron, he roasted Jordan Poole of the Golden State Warriors for spending $500,000 on a date with Ice Spice. Is this true?
Seems so, yeah. $500,000 for a date.
Okay, so if you're spending money to pay for a date, what is that called in this country, Courtney?
Well, what's the intent of the date? Could just, I mean, that's where the, I know what you're trying to get me to say here.
In the hood, it's called tricking.
All right, you keep your beak out of the
tricking. Oh, no.
You like it is.
All right, that's fine. Thank you, Jay Moore, for that.
I was going to say,
out of the street.
I'm from the burbs. We call that solicitation.
And what do you call it,
prostitution.
Gordon? Oh, like, my.
See, I knew you were going to do that because we don't know what the intent of the date was. We know, but we don't actually know. $500,000. I'm not trying to like dunk on Ice Spice here. Annie is what she looks like. If you don't know who I'm talking about, think of Orphan Annie.
Yes.
Go look at this girl. $500,000 for Ice Spice.
Sun come out tomorrow.
Did they go on the date or was it just the monetary offer that happened? Do we know? Did the date actually happen?
It probably did. Maybe it's the reason he's playing so poorly.
I mean, zero points and zero.
Played 10 minutes in game four.
He stinks. And he just thinks he's the world's. He thinks he's a cat's ass when he's out there. It's amazing.
And zero spice.
And zero spice, clearly. And I'm seeing Ice Spice. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to take a Google search, do a little Google image, you will see.
Little Orphan Annie.
You really will. Sun come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar, Dad. like, pretty much, that's what she's looking like. I mean, she really is like Little Orphan Annie. It's strange.
She said he's a munch. That's
I
her
hate
song.
That word.
Her
I
song
hate
is
that
munch,
word.
So that means, hey, you're lame.
What? Yeah, is that what munch means?
Oh, absolutely.
You're a munch?
Yeah, oh. I just ate you up.
Wow.
He's just such a, It's like when people say the word moist. Yes. That's how I think of munch. Yes. I hate that word.
I don't enjoy that either.
Moist. Oh, my God. He's moist.
Oh.
Holy cow. Seriously? You're a munch. That's what it says here. I'm looking at the quote.
Absolutely.
You're an effing munch, it says here. Wow. What? I mean, $500,000 for a date?
It says they went on the date and he spent $500,000. How do you spend $500,000 on a first date?
I don't know. He got a 4-year, $128 million contract extension last year, so he's got money to blow.
Did he buy her a Lambo? Like, how do you spend $500,000 on a date?
Well, for $40,000, you can get a Birkin bag. So that's.
I mean, she's new to the game too. So why did you feel like you had to spend that much? It's not like you're taking Beyonce on a date.
I mean, and that would be everything I own. It wouldn't be just $500,000. That'd be everything. I'd be emptying my pockets like the Monopoly Man.
Hey, Beyonce, take my kids.
I mean, seriously. Holy, I can't believe $500,000 for Ice Spice. Are you that hard up? You're a Golden State Warrior. You can just go to any club and be like, I'm Jordan Poole, and I play for Golden State. Oh, for real? I mean, it would be that easy. You had to pay for that?
I'm not sure James Harden has spent that amount of money in a 3-night bender in Houston.
You know what? I think I have the answer to this, and we'll come back with the answer of why he's doing this in 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.